We're starting a new series of messages today talking about who Jesus is as we come into this Christmas season. And so over the next few weeks, I want to talk to you about different aspects of who Jesus is. And we're going to be looking at the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. And so if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and find Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah was a powerful prophet of Israel in the Old Testament, used by God in an incredibly powerful way. And we'll get to what he said here in just a few moments. But to kind of set the stage, here's what I believe about God. I believe that all of us have a next step, and that God wants us all to keep growing and keep being all he has created for us to be. And recently I was hearing about the plasticity of the brain, how your brain has this incredible God-given ability to enlarge, to grow, to develop, and to continue doing so, that you don't have to stop growing at high school, right? You can keep growing. Matter of fact, I've known people in midlife who have changed careers, who like went back to school, learned something different, and started applying it in a whole different way, or learned languages later in life. Many of our missionaries change from one continent to another and learn a whole new language, different things like that, because of this plasticity of your brain. Your God-given brain, your mind, is able to do that. So God's intent is for you to never stop developing, to always be growing. And I believe that one of those things that we try to do as a church is help people grow through Growth Track. Next Sunday will be an opportunity for you. If you haven't been to Growth Track, I just talked to a couple after the first service who haven't been as yet. They're newer to the church. It's been coming a couple of months. And I said, you know, you guys need to go to Growth Track. And they're excited about it, because at Growth Track, you learn not just about the church, but you learn about your role in the church. You know, what God put inside of you. Who are you as far as the kingdom of God goes? What does God have for your life? And so much of Growth Track is about developing that and to be ongoing in that. Because sometimes what happens to us is growth seasons happen because of something difficult that happens in our lives. Would you agree with that? That like, you know, there's nothing like a bad diagnosis to get people to want to read the Bible. You know, or maybe you start coming to church because of a marriage bump. You know, I mean, you hit a bump and you were like, you looked at each other and said, we need to go to church. I don't know what it was for you, but I do know that God uses bad things to help us grow in good ways. Everybody with me on that? And so that happens. But here's my thought. Why wait, right? Why wait for something bad to happen? Why not go ahead and grow now? You know, why not advance yourself now? Because, bad things can just try to grow into our lives. Any gardeners here? Anybody a gardener? Okay, so we try to garden, and we've kind of expanded how we've grown some things over time. But here's what I know about gardening is when I go out, I look for weeds because I didn't plant them. I didn't want them to be there, but they just show up. I planted the tomato, you know. Are you with me? And I planted the peppers and all, but somehow these weeds want to grow up. And so I'll go out, but I don't do that once, and then it's done. Oh, no. I mean, go back and back. You got to keep going back because otherwise the weeds will come and try to choke out the plant. And the same thing in your life and mine, there are things that want to choke out the life of God in us. How many have felt that? Where you know, these things happen, and so what we've got to do is say, no, you know what? I'm not allowing that to happen. I want to push past this, the circumstances, and go to a whole new level in God. And so that's kind of how Isaiah's world was. Isaiah, an Old Testament prophet, that wrote this whole incredible book of prophecy in your Bible. He lived hundreds of years before Jesus, but he lived in a time when God would speak and say, hey, quit following false gods. I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the God that provided for you. I'm the God that gave you this promised land. I'm the God who wants a plan for your life, purpose for your life. So quit going after these false gods. They aren't even real gods. But the people would do that anyway. They would kind of look and say, I kind of like their God over there. Why don't we just add that God to our God? Why don't we just kind of mix in and you know, just kind of have a few gods going and some things like that. And then what would happen is bad things would happen. And the prophet lived in this time. And so here's how he spent some of his time. He would say, hey, God says, get away from that. God says, those false gods are going to lead you astray, and you're going to have difficult times in your life. And so you need, this is a warning that you need to not go after false gods, because they can't answer your prayers. They can't, you know, do for you. And you need to turn to the living God, because he is the one true God. And so he would give these warnings to the people. But in the midst of the warnings, he gives this incredible, and this is just amazing, because this is, again, hundreds of years before Jesus. But he, like, sees Jesus coming hundreds of years before he comes. And he gives this message of hope to the people of God who will listen. And isn't it just like God to give a message of hope in the darkness? I mean, have you ever seen that in your own life or maybe somebody else where you know, you're going through a dark season, but all of a sudden somebody comes along and shares a scripture with you? Am I the only one that's had that happen? Or you know, or this song plays on the radio and just bless, and you're crying driving down the road, you know, because God's just in the car and moving in your life and things like that. It's like a drop of hope, a message of hope in the midst of a hopeless situation. And that's where we're going to pick up the story in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Here's what Isaiah says. Nevertheless, so, you know, this up and down warnings from God and all, he says this, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. You know, bad things happen. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations. Now, this is incredible because in Jesus' time, Jesus' ministry, much of it was around Galilee. And there were even people, and you can read this in the New Testament, who would say, can any prophet, you know, really come from that part of the world? You know, at Galilee, that's kind of common people and whatever. You know, that some Messiah is going to be from Galilee. And so they would kind of knock it. But Isaiah says hundreds of years before it happens, he says, no, God's going to do it. God's going to honor that part of the world. It's amazing. And he says, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. He says, into the darkness he's going to shine. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. He's talking about how Jesus and God is going to break through the darkness. And I just want to say to somebody today, if you're sitting here in darkness or depression or some kind of negativity in your life, God wants to break through in light into your life today, all right? He wants to do that. And he says, you have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, he's talking about an Old Testament situation with Gideon there. And he says, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. You broke through every situation, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And then this is amazing. For to us a child is born. And we know that when Jesus came on the scene, nobody's looking for a baby. You know, they're looking for a Messiah. They're looking for a king from David that's going to rule and reign. Nobody's looking for a baby. But Isaiah says, no, it's going to be a child that's born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, and this is where we're going to go for the next few weeks, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, these are the words that eventually, a few hundred years later, are going to get spoken to Mary before she gives birth to Jesus. And so Isaiah saw it first before Mary got clued in about it. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. And you can read about that in Matthew and in Luke, how he would come from David's family line, over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. He's going to be a king, unlike other kings. He's going to reign forever. He's going to be established forever because the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. Because when God wants to do something, God can do it. How many know that? Right? No devil, no demon, no hell can stop when God wants to do something. And God wants to bring light into the darkness. So, this first name, I want us to just look at it today. The Wonderful Counselor. What's he talking about there? A counselor, think of it in two different ways. You get a counselor, maybe assigned to you, if, and hopefully none of you have had this experience, but maybe some of you have, of being in court, right? To where you have a counselor who, what? They speak for you. Because, I don't know, I've watched court shows. How many have done that, at least? And they'll say, counselor, approach the bench. Well, why is the counselor going to the bench? Because they're going to speak for that person. And so Jesus, in some ways, as our counselor, he speaks for us to the Father. He speaks for us on our behalf to the Father so that the Father says, oh, okay, I'm going to do that, not because they're worthy, but because you're worthy. You know. And then the other counselor, and some of you, many of you perhaps, have gone to a counselor because you had marriage problems, or you had emotional problems, or you had some kind of situation, or you just said, you know what, I just think I need, or maybe somebody told you, you need counseling, you know, maybe that was it. I don't know how it came about, but you went and saw someone. They don't speak for you, they speak to you. And we're going to look at that today because Jesus, as this wonderful counselor, does what a wonderful counselor will do. They reveal truth to you. Because you may go into the office and say, yeah, it's my wife. She's just, you know, I'm telling you, I'd be great if it weren't for her or whatever, if it weren't for my family or my parents or my whatever. And then the counselor gets around to, let's talk about you. And then ultimately, maybe what happens is you start to own your own decisions. Is that too real today? All right. So, but here's the purpose. The counselor wants you to live free so that you walk out free of that, whatever that was. And so I want to give you the Hebrew words for this wonderful counselor. Here's what the first one is, the word wonderful in the Hebrew, pele, and that is beyond understanding, too wonderful for words. So in other words, it's like saying he's the wonderful counselor, but he's really more than wonderful. Wonderful is as good of a word as I can come up with right now, but I just want you to know that's inadequate. That's still not enough. But maybe it helps so you know he's not just a counselor, he's a wonderful counselor. And he's really more than that. And then the word counselor, ya'atz, and that means to advise, to consult, to guide. So he wants to come alongside of us to help us. Hebrews, over in the New Testament, so this is hundreds of years. Isaiah is talking about Jesus, before Jesus. In Hebrews, it's after Jesus. And here's what it says about Jesus after Jesus has been here. He says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. And he's talking about Jesus. He says he's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. So let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive the mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because here's what he does. He says he understands. And I love this phrase. Maybe you saw it. It was a few years ago that there was this campaign in our country, I think it was just maybe our country, that did this campaign with three little words. It was, he gets us. Anybody remember that? Like they bought ads for the Super Bowl so that however many multiplied millions of people would get that phrase, he gets us. And the whole thing of the marketing campaign was to understand that Jesus gets you. And to entice people, maybe who wouldn't go to church or whatever, or hadn't thought about Jesus in a long time or ever, would go to the website and they would look into that. And it was all a goal to get people to go toward Jesus. And I loved the idea of it. I don't know how successful really that it was, but I love the idea of it, that he gets us. He gets us. He understands. I don't know, maybe you've talked to a counselor before and you were in their office and you were talking to them and you thought, yeah, she doesn't get me. He doesn't get me. Or maybe you felt that way with your parents. Maybe you felt that way like, yeah, they don't get me. Or you felt that way with somebody else. Maybe with your spouse. Maybe you felt it with other people and you thought, you don't get me. And we all want someone to get us, to understand us, to be able to relate to us. And here's what's beautiful about this wonderful counselor is he does. He gets us. Because maybe you quit your counseling because you thought, they don't get me. Maybe you fired the counselor that was trying to get you off of that charge in court, and you fired them because you don't get me. I'm going to represent myself, you know. because I get me. And maybe, I don't know if that worked well or didn't work well, but that's how we feel. We want someone to get us. And again, that's who Jesus is. And here's how he's described, or how he self-describes himself as like a doctor. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so, in a way, Jesus is saying, I get you, I understand you, and I understand that your sickness or your struggle or your problems. And again, maybe you've had people say, "You know what? You need counseling. I'm telling you, you need, if anybody needs counseling, you need counseling." But Jesus says, "That's okay, because I'm a wonderful counselor. And I've come for the sick." And so what I would ask today, and I'll ask this again maybe later, is where do you need counseling? Because I heard somebody say one time, I just thought it was cool. It was kind of funny in a way too. But they said, "Everybody needs counseling." Like everybody. You know, everybody could benefit from some counseling. But I'm telling you today, everyone could benefit from the wonderful counselor. Because in our lives, there's some area where we need help. We need someone who gets us. We need someone who can help us. And so today, as we get ready to go into this, and we're in this Christmas series, I'll say as we get ready for Christmas, I just want you to know, Jesus isn't just here to give you a Merry Christmas. He is here to give you a new life. Okay? A new life. So how do we receive this wonderful counselor? Okay, here we go. First thing, maybe you want to write this down, is trust him. You need to trust him. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, what are the things that we can't trust in life? And I don't know, can you trust ChatGPT? You know, because, you know, I've heard recently about things and algorithms and different things, how it begins to analyze you and figure out what you like to hear and whatever, and then it can tell you what you like to hear or show you what you like to see and different things like that. And really, that's not what I need. And there's so much of our culture that you look at and you think, okay, that person, are they real? Are they AI generated? You know, are they a real person? And then, you know, news. You know, there's news industry that has been around for decades. And I know of one in particular that just in recent months, I think it was, that they had to admit that the story that they were running, they knew it wasn't true. But they ran it anyway. And so then you're thinking, okay, who can I trust? You know, is there anybody really that I can trust? And I just want you to know, you can trust Jesus, okay? Because he's been through it all. And you can be brutally honest with the counselor, Jesus. Jesus shows this on an occasion in John chapter 4 when this woman at the well, you remember that story, many of you? Maybe you've read that story where this woman, you know, she's not looking for an encounter with Jesus, but it happens. And so he starts talking to her, and she starts talking to him about their perspectives on things. And ultimately, it gets to this point where he says, "Hey, go call your husband, and let's talk further about this." And she had the opportunity to just run. She had the opportunity to just make up a story or whatever, but instead they get down to the nitty-gritty, because she says, "Well, I really don't have a husband." He says, "Well, that's true." And he says, "Because you've had five." and the man you're with now is not your husband. And she's like, whoa, that's insightful, you know. He gets me, right? He gets me. And so ultimately, of course, she gives her heart and life over to the Lord and is so changed that the whole town gets changed because of her impact. And so what I want you to see is that a good counselor doesn't just say, oh, you know, you've had five husbands, you know, a lot of bad luck there. No, see, I kind of feel like if you and Steve have a problem, and you and Larry have a problem, and you and Joe have a problem, and you and Bob have a problem, how many know you've got a problem, right? There's a common denominator there. And so maybe it's time to look introspectively and say, you know, what do I need to do? And I love what C.S. Lewis said. C.S. Lewis, when he was writing the Chronicles of Narnia, and some of you remember that, even from the movie, when he was talking about the lion, he says, well, he's not safe, but he's good, and he can be trusted. So it's not that he's safe, he's good, though. So he may say some things. He may speak the truth in love to you, but it's for your betterment. And some of us, maybe today, that's what we need. We don't need other people just saying, oh, yeah, that's too bad or whatever. We need somebody who will help us to address the things in our life that need addressed. In Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. So what we've got to do is come to God, Jesus, as this trusted space that he's for me, not against me. That he's wanting to help my life. He wants me to grow. He wants me to develop. And so I'm going to trust him with that. So many people in our culture, they talk about a safe place, a safe space. You know, I just don't know if she's a safe space or whatever. I don't know that we need a safe space as much as we need a trusted space. Because C.S. Lewis, again, didn't say, you know, he's safe. He says he's not safe, but he's good. And he wants to help us, because I like what one person said. He said, you may have Jesus in your heart, but you've got grandpa in your bones. And so we need the Holy Spirit to sometimes bring conviction. And the only way to do that and to get beyond our own hang-ups and our own habits is we need the truth. Because like Xander said earlier, the truth will set us free. How many are glad for that, right? So here's the second thing to write down, is you've got to hear him. You have to hear him. Mark chapter 9, verse 7, a voice came from the cloud. Now this is God's voice speaking over Jesus. And here's what he said. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to him. You know, we need a voice that speaks into us, that helps us to be what he has called us to be. In John 10, 27, Jesus said it like this. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. He speaks wisdom into our lives, and we take it in to our lives. Last week when I was speaking, one of the things I wrote down on the whiteboard, those of you that were here, you remember that, where I said, hey, the big thing in this whole miracle offering thing is I want you to hear from God. I don't want to tell you an amount. We don't need to go meet somewhere and I'll say, okay, why don't you show me your tax forms? And, you know, your situation and everything, I'll tell you what you ought to give, right? No, you should listen and hear the voice of God. Because here's the thing I want you, church, to get, is you can hear God for yourself. For yourself, you can hear God because he told everybody, hey, listen to him. And he says, my sheep, listen to my voice. I don't have to go to somebody else to hear my voice. They can hear me. I will speak to them. And here's what God wants to do. God wants to do more than fix your circumstances. He wants to fix you. See, we want God often to fix our circumstances, but what God really wants to fix is you. And here's the next thing to write down. This is the last thing, is obey him. Obey him. I spend a whole section in my book. Many of you have purchased my book and read my book. And if you've read the book, then you know there's a whole section about obedience. To obey God. How many know it's not enough to go to the doctor and the doctor says, I'm telling you, you need to quit doing that. If you don't, you're going to die. And you walk out of there and do it anyway. Well, what good did that do? Right? Or you go to the counselor and the counselor says, have you ever thought about why you reject people? Have you ever thought about, you know, why you get angry? What is that? Could it be this? You know? And you're like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And other people are like, did you ask? And you say, yeah. And the doctor said, you say, oh, well, you're going to do it? No. No. I asked the counselor, and they said this. He said, oh, so you're going to do that? No. No, not going to do it. You know, we need to do what he tells us to do. There's a story of a rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And he says, what many of us want is, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And Jesus says, well, have you done the commandments? Have you done all those? And he says, let me read it to you. He says, teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy. In Mark chapter 10. And Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And then because he loved him, listen to this, he didn't leave him there. He could have said, well, good job. You're doing good. No. Look at what he says in the next verse. One thing you lack. There's one thing you're kind of missing. He says, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. And look at what this guy does. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus, now, it isn't money for everybody, but for this guy it was. And Jesus is like, there's one thing that's messing you up. And I'll just tell you what it is, and here's what you need to do. And the guy was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And he walked away, but he walked away sad. He didn't have to walk away sad, but he chose not to do what Jesus was saying for him to do. And again, for you, it may not be money. It may be something else that maybe Jesus would say today, there's just one thing. There's just one thing in your life that really holds you back from us being able to really talk like I'd like for us to. There's one thing that holds you back, and it's holding you back in your marriage. It's holding you back in your relationship. It's affecting your whole life. And Jesus would say today, it's just this one thing. And if you just go fix that, if you just go do something about that, you could be free. So he loves us enough, just like that young man, that he tells us the truth. And here's what I want to say today. I want to ask, what's it for you? What is that for you? If you just got with Jesus today, what's the thing you think that he would say to you? And say, you know, if you would give me that, if you would just cast that burden to me, if you would just get rid of that habit in your life, it's holding you back. It's keeping you from everything I want to. But if you would just, what is it for you today? And here's what I think. I think if you'll hear the counselor, this good, wonderful, more than wonderful counselor speak to you, and he says something today, and you give it to him, I think you could walk out of this place free. I think you could walk out of here with more joy coming your way than you've ever had in your life. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that sound good? To just be I can just give all of that to him. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you that you didn't just send a way for us to have to deal with our problems. You didn't just send something for us to do. You did it yourself. You did the heavy lifting. You came in the form of Jesus and identified with humanity so that you could know every struggle that we've had, so that we can come to you today and say, he gets me. He gets me. And God, help us today to know what it is that's holding us back from growing into all that you have yet for us. Maybe as we're just praying, church, maybe you would just say today, maybe by an upraised hand, hey, I'm willing to give whatever it is over to God today. I don't want my anxiety. I don't want my depression. I don't want my fear. I don't want my money. I don't want possessions. I don't want anything coming between me and God. I want to know God all out. I want to be fully surrendered to him. I want to be fully vulnerable to him today. If that's your prayer, would you just raise your hands all over this room? Yeah, come on, church. Let's just go all in with God today. Lord, search our hearts. See if there's something there, some root of bitterness, something, maybe it's secrets that we're not sharing. Maybe it's something that we're not willing to be honest about. But today, would you just speak the truth in love to each of us, wherever this lands? And God, only you know where it lands with each of us. So today, just search this room, search our hearts, search our minds. If there's anything that's holding us back from being able to grow into all that you have for us, then Lord, today, we want to relinquish that. We want to surrender that. And just like that woman at the well, we want to walk away free by your mighty power. While we're still praying, there may be those of you who walked in this room that don't even have a relationship with God, perhaps. That when we talk about hearing God and having a relationship with the living God and all, that just sounds nice to you, perhaps, but you can't relate to it. Maybe the reason why is because you've never opened the door for God to come in like that in your life. And I'm just telling you, really, that's what Christmas is all about, is God coming our way, doing all he can to gain our attention today so that we will open the door to him. And if you would like to open that door, here today, if you would like to just allow God to come into your life and be able to hear the voice of God, to have a connection with the living God from this day forward, I want to help you do that here right now. Just raise a hand if that's you all over this room. Just raise it up. Yeah, just raise it up. And online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you as well. Come on, church family, let's pray this prayer so those around us who raised a hand will pray it out loud as well. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to come into this world and identify with me, to know my pain, to know my sorrow, and to be able to overcome. Through your power, I believe I can be changed. From this moment forward, as much as I know how, I surrender all to you. Search my life and fill my life with all of you so that I can become all that you want me to be. From this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen. Church family, let's welcome those who prayed that prayer. On the screens are next steps that you can just take from wherever you are. You can just text that and we'll receive that. We're going to begin praying for you. Also on the back side, or rather it's the front side of the connection card that you have, there are two boxes. I committed my life to Christ today is one of those boxes. If you did that, just check that box. If you made a recommitment, maybe you say, well, I've committed before, but today was a recommitment of my life to Christ, you can check that box, put that in the buckets, or take it over to the Welcome Center if you're new and you've never done that before, and we're going to be praying for you as well. One more thing is the Next Steps room is right across this hall, and someone's over there after service to talk to you about baptism, talk to you about life groups, talk to you about Growth Track, and get you signed up for that so you can start next week. All right, let's stand together and we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask prayer partners to come forward at this time. If you have a prayer need or concern, you just would like someone to pray with you, pray for you, they would love to pray with you before you leave today. Father, thank you for the amazing Bible to hundreds of years ahead of time say what's going to happen. And Lord, we know it's still happening. You're still doing wonderful counseling. You're still able to help us to become all you want us to be. And so, Lord, thank you for what you've started today in many of our lives. Help it to continue this week. Help it to get reflected out to those around us who don't know you. Holy Spirit, draw every person who needs prayer down here to receive the prayer they need. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.